We'll just get started. All right, so question one, and I will say that the first three questions all came in at about 35% of the submitted questions are covered, or actually these first three questions capture or hit about 35%, right? That was the largest number. So we started with the largest number of sort of interest so that we can get to those questions first. So first question is, why not keep the trail in the rail corridor? And there's a Capitola portion and a Park Avenue portion. And so the RTC and the county will answer those. And a lot of that was a lot of the answers were discussed previously, but they'll try to put some a fine point on the answers moving up.
Grace Blakeslegan with the Regional Transportation Commission. I hoped I was able to answer that question in part in my presentation and talking about the costs associated with the Capitola trestle and the constraints we have around constructing a bicycle and pedestrian facility within that area. What we have proposed is that as part of the longer term to look at options for constructing either a combined or two parallel bridges, one for passenger rail or freight rail adjacent, and another one for bicycle and pedestrian trail. That project was not included, and that portion of the project was not included in the current grant fund because of the potential cost for implementing that, but it is something that we are pursuing through the passenger rail and trail project.
Keep forgetting not to look into the projector. And just the other point to note as far as the Capitola trestle, there was no funding requested in the county's ATP grant for the conversion of the Capitola trestle. So right now the segment 1011 project does not have funding for the conversion of the trestle. And I'll answer the Park Avenue portion of this question. Why not keep the trail in the rail corridor along Park Avenue? I went through a lot of the advantages of the Park Avenue alignment over the coastal alignment in my presentation, and I know we're running late, so I won't get into all of those. But in general, we see the Park Avenue alignment as having greater benefits and less challenges than the coastal alignment. The main thing being that it has better connectivity to the neighborhood, which then increases the potential that someone will use the trail versus getting on Park Avenue on their bike and sitting and being next to traffic. So better connectivity, potentially better safety along Park Avenue. It also has, as I mentioned, reduced costs, which improves the overall project delivery for the segments 1011 project. And it's just, in general, in addition to being less expensive, easier to build, because that infrastructure that I showed previously is challenging to build. It takes a lot of time. And so for all those reasons, that's why we're recommending the trail stays along Park Avenue.
Thank you. So question two was, why is the segment 10 and 11 project routing cyclists and pedestrians through the village? And so Robbie's going to come back up, and then the city will answer as well.
Right, so as Grace mentioned above in her response to question one and is in her presentation, it's not feasible to have a trail on the Capitola Trestle as part of the Segment 1011 project. So really the only way to get trail users from one end of the trail to the other was to go through the village. The project team, in collaboration with city staff, we did look at various alignments and options for routing trail users through the village during preliminary design and environmental review, and we determined that the proposed route along Cliff Drive, Stockton Ave, Capitola Ave, and then up Monterey Avenue was determined to be the most direct and offered the best existing bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. In addition, as I mentioned previously, the improvements through the village are expected to improve what is out there right now and improve safety. And then Jessica may want to add a little bit more.
I'll just say, as we said in the presentation, the village obviously has a lot of congestion. There will likely always be congestion in the village outside of closing those streets to vehicle traffic. This really is meant to be an interim measure. The city does intend on doing studies, hopefully facilitated by this grant, to make permanent pedestrian and bicycle improvements in the village area.
So, thank you for that. Question three is wouldn't it be safer to stick with an alignment within the rail corridor on Park Avenue? And we'll have Jessica start first.
So just briefly, as stated in the presentation, while Park Avenue does have in-lane bicycle lanes and also sidewalk on one side of the street, there is a documented speeding issue on Park Avenue. There's a direct correlation between vehicle speeds and incidences of collisions being fatalities. And so the bike lane being part of the street system makes it more likely that a collision will occur. What Rob is proposing with the rail trail, in any alignment, would be a separated facility. So bicycles and pedestrians who choose to walk on the other side of the street would be off of the roadway.
Thanks. And I'll just add that in general, as I mentioned in my presentation, both alignments offer similar safety improvements over the existing conditions, in that, as Jessica mentioned, both alignments provide a multi-use trail that is separated from vehicular traffic. As to which alignment, the Coastal Trail versus the Park Avenue alignment, which one is safer, I think one can make an argument either way. As I mentioned, as part of question one, there's better connectivity and trail access with the Park Avenue alignment, which will improve safety because, again, more people are likely to use the trail and not ride on Park Avenue. And this is especially true for safe routes to school, for New Bright Middle School here, since Park Avenue alignment connects to Washburn via a crosswalk with the flashing beacons that I mentioned. And as many of you know, this is a primary route to get to New Bright from Park Avenue. The coastal alignment has better separation from vehicular traffic in terms of avoiding an accident should a car run off the road and into the trail. However, the project team, as I mentioned again in my presentation, we can look at installing vertical barriers between the trail and the roadway during final design if desired by the community and the city.
Thank you, Rob. Okay, so question four. Oh, by the way, for any of you who are trying to follow along with the questions and then the answers, the question and the answer, because it's being recorded, we'll be able to transcribe them and put them onto the website as well, so they'll be transcribed there. Plus also the video that's being captured will be there so you can watch that again if you'd like. So we'll go to question four, which is how is the city ensuring compliance with Measure L?
This is a similar answer to before, which is that is up to the council how to interpret the ballot measure. A good overview of the legal issues that the council considered prior to the measure being placed on the ballot years ago is linked on the city's website. It's the 9212 report that the city attorney at the time prepared for the city. But it would be up to the city to determine how to interpret what's now in the Muni Code, how to apply that to this project if they decide to move forward, and then if the city were sued from anyone in response to the council's decision, my office would support the city's choice, and a court would determine the validity of those arguments.
All right, thank you. All right, so those questions, those four questions were the top questions, generally the top four themes that were submitted. The next three or so fall into a lesser percentage, right in the 16% to 17% range of the questions that were submitted touched on these next items. So I will move on to question number five, which is how much money would Capitola save if the council approves the Park Avenue alignment, and what about the county/the whole project?
So the city was to move forward with the Park Avenue alignment of Coastal Rail Trail segments 10 and 11. We would not move forward with the project we've been working on for the past couple years for the Park Avenue traffic calming. The budget for that project was about $100,000, $20,000 of which has been expended on public outreach and preliminary design. The estimate we have for the project that we had designed is preliminarily about $120,000. So that is something that we would not budget extra money towards, and then the $80,000 that we currently have in the budget could be expended on road projects elsewhere in the city.
And in terms of the project for the county, I think I noted in my presentation, this Park Avenue alignment was recommended by the value engineering team. The value engineering team estimated that the Park Avenue alignment could save up to $13 million and reduce construction duration by 6 months. Internally, however, as I mentioned previously, we think the savings will be less than that, and we'll know more about the expected costs estimates for the project later this summer when we have new construction estimates. Thanks. All right, thank you. Question number six is, what happens to the county's funding if the city council votes no on the Park Avenue alignment? So I'll start, and then Grace will finish this one. So as we've discussed, the coastal alignment poses challenges to project delivery because it's more expensive and more difficult to build. And as a result, RTC and county staff don't recommend pursuing it. We initially thought that one potential solution to mitigate these risks if City Council didn't approve the Park Avenue alignment would be to eliminate the 0.7 mile of trail between Monterey Avenue and Coronado Street from the project. However, when we spoke to Caltrans staff about this approach, they did not think the California Transportation Commission, which is the entity that awarded the grant, would approve an outright elimination of a 0.7 mile section of trail due to the reduction in overall benefits to the community from such a gap, and that likely the California Transportation Commission could reduce the grant amount significantly. So to avoid risking grant funding and to maintain the continuous trail for the benefit of the community, the county would request support from the RTC to move forward with the coastal alignment.
Yeah, and I would just add that as part of that, there would be the Regional Transportation Commission would need to consider what the additional cost was to implement the segment, the portion of segment 11 along Park Avenue if they should pursue the coastal trail alignment. Measure D revenues are something that we discuss on an ongoing basis at the Regional Transportation Commission in order to strategically leverage state and federal funds and to strategically develop our coastal rail trail project. So as Rob mentioned, it's unknown if that portion of the project could be removed from the grant without jeopardizing the entire grant funding, and that would be something that staff would present as options to the Regional Transportation Commission should additional funding be needed. And I want to reiterate what Rob mentioned in his presentation, that due to the increased cost estimates we received that were presented last year to the commission instructed staff to conduct a value engineering analysis, and the recommendation for a Park Avenue alignment was something that came out of that analysis. So that is what was directed to us by the Regional Transportation Commission to look at for cost saving measures. So staff would recommend pursuing that Park Avenue alignment to reduce the overall costs.
All right, thank you. So just before we move on, right, because I came in, I'm a non-participating person in all of this, right? I live outside, way outside of any of the rail trail stuff. And so as I was getting up to speed and trying to understand, I had a little confusion between Park Avenue alignment and the coastal rail alignment. Does everybody understand what that is? Okay. No, I'm not going to take questions. I wanted to make sure that there was an understanding that between Park Avenue alignment and then the coastal trail alignment. Well, Park Avenue, now I have to answer, I hate that. So the Park Avenue, as I understand it, Park Avenue alignment brings the trail right adjacent to Park Avenue. So the current street that's there brings it up, in essence, to the same elevation, same level. It's right next door, right next to it. It's got all the improvements that Rob had talked about with horizontal separation as well as vertical separation. There's a curb. And so it's built there. If you have, like I have, walked along Park Avenue on the non-sidewalk side, you can see the trail, the rail that's down below, which is down in the trench. And so the coastal rail alignment basically puts the trail next to the tracks down in that in sort of that in, down the embankment, right? And I'm not going to go into the specifics of all. Rob had that in his presentation very thoroughly. I'm just trying to explain it in a layperson's version, right? Park Avenue alignment is right next to the Park Avenue, and it's at road height preliminarily or primarily, and then the coastal rail, it runs next to the rail.
Trees will be
Okay, so well, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to distinguish between the ownership of either of those, but I just wanted to let, I wanted people to understand because that can be confusing. Okay, so with that, we'll move on. I'll try not to go off script anymore because I don't want to answer any more questions. All right, so question number 7. What happens to the larger county project? Now, what happens to the larger county project and the $67 million active transportation planning grant if Capitola doesn't approve the project? And I'll give it back to the experts.
We've sort of addressed this, but I think a couple of things to highlight here that are new. Just note that when the county was preparing this active transportation program grant, we did coordinate with the city prior to submitting the grant application. The city submitted both a letter of intent to partner with the county, and in that letter committed to partnering to deliver the Segments 10 and 11 project, and the city council also approved submitting a letter of support for the project on June 9th, 2022. That letter was signed by the mayor, and I have a couple quotes from the letter that I'm not going to read because we don't have time when I get to public comment. And I think the important thing to note here is that, you know, should the city not approve the project, and then you're looking at roughly a 2-mile gap in the middle of a 4.2-mile trail. So it makes it essentially useless or reduces the benefits significantly. And in a situation like that, I think the likely scenario is that the CTC would kill the entire project. The CTC would claw back all of the $67.6 million grant funding, which, as I mentioned, is the largest ATP grant in state history. And so as a result, there's a lot of eyes on our region making sure we can deliver. And I think one thing, the failure from our region to deliver this project would be that we would have less of a chance of getting very large competitive transportation grants in the future because we didn't demonstrate that we could deliver on the one that we got. So I think there's a lot of fallout from that. To avoid a lot of that, the county would likely pursue alternative permitting methods for the project to find it, to see if there are ways we could get around needing to go to the city council for permits, so going to the Coastal Commission directly or getting the project appealed to other entities. There's a lot of unknowns and uncertainty associated with that process, but in a scenario like that where you're looking at losing the entire grant funding and killing the project, we would look at all the alternatives possible.
All right.
The question was, I was just going to say, the question was, what happens to the entire project if the city council does not approve the project, period.
So not the park line?
Correct.
No. The whole thing. So, and then also, I'll mention it later. I'm not going to go off script again. The next question is question 8, which is what happens if the city council says no to any and all proposed improvements through the village?
Thank you, Jim. So the original designs for the project actually did not include any improvements through the village. Village improvements were omitted from the project scope at the request of the city. And so the $67.6 million grant in 2022 did not include any improvements through the village. The city changed their mind in mid-2023 during the environmental review process and requested that the project include minor improvements through the village, the ones that I showed in my presentation. This request was then formalized with the city's comment letter on the draft EIR in late 2023. And so as a result, we added all of those improvements that I showed in my presentation. So if the city council, we could explore removing those from the project scope and then let the city sort of address village circulation issues on their own. And I don't know if you want to add any more. No, okay.
All right. So the next 3 questions, number 9, 10, and 11, were in another lower percentage. They were single digits primarily from about 8% all the way down to 3 or 4%. So these were lesser, but they still bubbled up as themes. And so question 9 is, what steps are required to implement a train, and when could it realistically happen? I'll give that to you, Grace.
Thank you. So, you know, I provided an overview of what the RTC is doing now in terms of developing a concept for a rail alignment. This is the first step in conducting some of the engineering studies for development of passenger rail on the Santa Cruz Branch rail line. The project concept report is expected to come before the Regional Transportation Commission in fall and for their discussion. The next step, if the project is, if the commission decides to continue to pursue passenger rail, would be to conduct an environmental analysis of the project. Currently there is not funding identified for the environmental analysis, so that's something that the RTC has been exploring options for. We were looking primarily at the Corridor ID program through the federal government, and it looks now that that will be postponed, so it's unknown when the funding would be available for the environmental document. The other option that the commission has is to look at using additional Measure D revenues to pursue the environmental document. The cost estimate for that document is around $16 million, so it is a significant investment for our community and something that the regional transportation will have to consider. So that would be the next step. What else would be required to implement the passenger rail? There would have to be an investment in the infrastructure. I think if any of you attended our recent information session or the RTC's last meeting, we're looking at replacing the majority of the rail bridges along the corridor in order to pursue both combined passenger rail as well as freight rail along the corridor. So that's a significant investment. And then finally, we would need to have a local funding source to provide for maintenance and operations of the facility as well. So there are several steps that have to be completed prior to passenger rail being implemented. The question about when could it realistically happen? Well, right now we're looking at pursuing at the earliest the environmental studies in 2027, and then also, as I mentioned, it would rely on passage of a local transportation sales tax that includes funding for passenger rail, which is unknown at this time.
Thank you very much. All right, so we'll move on to question 10, and Grace is ready for question 10, which is, why don't we rail?
Thanks for this question. I appreciate that. So the RTC, when it was considering programming grant match funding in May 2022 for the Coastal Rail Trail projects that are then later awarded state funding, they were asked that if they were interested in pursuing what was we call the interim trail to then pursue rail banking. They did not take an action at that time, and since that time, staff has not been directed to pursue rail banking on the corridor. That is an action that can be taken by the freight operator to pursue rail banking, or it could be taken by a third party in order to pursue it with the Surface Transportation Board. So that regulatory process has not been initiated.
And then I'll touch on the third party. That's something new for the city. The city has learned that the city could be an applicant in a rail banking process with the Surface Transportation Board. It's something we are researching. We will be presenting more information about that, what a city-initiated rail banking process would look like, at our special council meeting coming up on April 17th.
All right, thank you. We'll go to question 11, which is our final question. And that is, why are we being asked to make the decision now, and can this decision be delayed until more information is available or further studies are completed?
Thank you, Jim. Could you actually go to the next slide? We got this. There we go. Great. So I showed this schedule at the beginning of my presentation, and essentially the project is under a deadline to request construction funding from the ATP program by April of 2027. This is 2 years away, which seems like a lot of time. You know, why do I have to make this decision now? But for a project of this size and complexity, we really need that entire 2 year period to do all of the work that's needed to finish final design, permitting, right of way. There's utility relocations that need to be completed prior to going out to bid. And so final design and until there's an alignment selected for the Park Avenue area, whether that's the coastal alignment or the Park Avenue alignment. And we define a scope of work for that contract amendment that the consultant team that I mentioned is going to the board later this month. We had hoped to do that last month. We're now a month behind, and we really can't afford any further delays to this project without putting the grant funding at risk. So, as I mentioned again, if City Council supports moving forward with the Park Avenue alignment, the project team would be conducting additional environmental review and analysis of the Park Avenue alignment, including those potential impacts to monarch habitat this summer. That information will be incorporated into the project's EIR as either an addendum to the EIR or a supplemental EIR, and then City Council would consider those environmental impacts of the entire project prior to formally approving the project sometime later this year. That's it. All right, thank you, Rob. Okay, so we are gonna move into, I'm gonna turn the lights on over here, because we are gonna move into the public comment portion. Watch your eyes. We're gonna have a fire station. Anybody turn on the lights without you knowing it, you get in trouble. So,